In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who were of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Thus Martin Luther explains and applies the first commandment to our lives. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. In the recent readings from Jeremiah, we've heard very little of the people of Jerusalem and Judah fearing, loving, or trusting in God at all. It's been continuous rejection of God's word and abuse of his prophet and refusal to repent and turn from their wickedness. As a result of this unwillingness to take to heart what the Lord was saying through his prophet, the people and the temple and the whole kingdom of Judah were doomed. Military defeat and exile in a faraway land were coming. There was no longer any question of whether these things would occur. The only question remaining was whether the people of Judah would surrender and go willingly, or fight and be taken forcibly. Today's reading from Daniel brings us to Babylon in the land of Shinar some 15 years earlier. At that point, the temple still stood. Jerusalem had not been destroyed, but Judah was already rebelling against the Lord. And so the Lord had allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to take leading citizens of Judah into exile. Among them were four young men, whom the king of Babylon sought to educate so that they could take a place among his advisors. What's striking about these young men, particularly when compared with those citizens of Judah about whom Jeremiah wrote, is that they feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. Now, to be sure, they too were sinners. No one is righteous, not even one. But they were contrite rather than stiff-necked. They feared the Lord and strove not to do anything against his commandments. In particular, they didn't want to defile themselves by eating or drinking that which the Lord had forbidden his people. The defilement they sought to avoid probably involved not only eating prohibited meat, things such as pork and shellfish, but also any food or drink that would involve them in idolatry because it had been part of a sacrifice to the false gods of Babylon. Daniel feared the Lord, so he also obeyed the fourth commandment in his quest. He was respectful in approaching the chief of the eunuchs, as well as the steward under whose authority he and the others had been placed. He accepted their concerns and trusted the Lord to make a way through the 10-day trial of a vegetable diet. The Lord was with these young men in this trial, and throughout the 3 years of their training, giving them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel, understanding in all visions and dreams. As a result, at the end of these years, they were head and shoulders above all the other wise men in the kingdom, and favored by the king above all his advisors. They feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, and he faithfully bestowed on them grace and every blessing. The readings we've heard from Jeremiah have given us ample reason to fear the Lord's wrath, to look in the mirror of his word and recognize that Jeremiah's preaching of the law applies just as surely to you and to me as it did to Jerusalem and Judah of old. The Lord may not punish immediately. His patience is extraordinary. He calls for repentance again and again and again. but it does not do to presume on his patience. If it is met only by wickedness and refusal to repent, the sinner will finally know the Lord's irresistible wrath. From this, dear Lord, preserve us. But when there is repentance, when you and I respond to God by fearing, loving, and trusting in him, rather than willfully going our own way, then there is mercy and steadfast love and forgiveness. There is grace in every blessing. That's because Jesus quenched God's wrath over your sin when he died for it on the cross. To all who receive Jesus, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children of God and heirs of heaven. God grant you ever to repent and believe, to fear, love, and trust in him above all things, that for Jesus' sake, you may experience grace and every blessing from his hand, now in this life and throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.